chapter 13. In the first verse, they say that they are going to slay Abinadi because he is mad. Well, if he's mad, then obviously they wouldn't slay someone who is mad. So the real thing they're saying here is that they cannot find any accusation. So the only thing they can do is call him mad. We might therefore see that this tells us that if we are true followers of Christ, that we will be called mad also. When they then try to take him away to slay him, the Spirit protects him, and they don't dare touch him. Now, again, we have to say, why did they want to hurry up and take him away? They wanted to take him away because they know that what he is going to tell them is true, and they also inherently know that if they do not have the law, then it can't be held against them. You know, this is kind of playing a game because they already, and it's a wicked game because they already have the law and they've had it passed down to them, but now they're trying to play a game that they really don't have the law and they don't want to hear it from him. And but the Lord is going to make sure that they've heard it clearly and that they are clearly not justified, and so he therefore allows Abinadi to finish the message. And the other point here is that when the Lord's work is going to be done, the Lord's work is going to be done, meaning it's his work. He is the power, and no matter how much men try and stop it, they do not have the power to stop or interfere with the Lord completing his work. Oh, in verse 11, then, he tells them that they teach iniquity. And to make this clear, you know, he then begins to quote from them to them the Ten Commandments, because remember, they claim to have taught the law of Moses. And again, the word there is they taught the law of Moses. And then when he finishes giving them the Ten Commandments, he says in verse 25, he asked them if they have observed these, and do they teach these to the people. And then we have to again say, what does he mean by teach? When we teach someone something, we just don't read it to them, or we don't just read it to them once a year or something. We actually discuss them, and we discuss how they apply to us in our present lives, and how they apply to us in our day. And so that's what it is. You claim to have taught the observance of these, but you don't, because you don't really get out and talk about them. And that's the same thing today. Do we go through each commandment one at a time, and do we teach what each one really means and how it applies today, and how people are not observing them today, how we are not observing them today, and what errors we could be making in them that we need to correct? No, we don't like to go through the Ten Commandments in detail. And so therefore, we have to say, as Abinadi said in 26, no, we do not teach the Ten Commandments and how it applies to the world today in Babylon, and how we infringe on them, and how businessmen use and trick them, and how we go to the movies and our hearts are not on our wives, and so on and so on. He then says in verse 27 that the time will come that it's no more expedient to keep the law of Moses. Well, what replaces the law of Moses? What replaces it is that we then do according to our hearts or our conscience or the Spirit, and by following that, we will not only keep the law of Moses, we'll even do better than that. And now, obviously, that's the law given to us by Jesus Christ. And then he says, in verse 29, he repeats why they and even the children of Israel were given the law of Moses. And why were they given it? Because they were stiff-necked. He says again, they were stiff-necked. They did not humble themselves. They could not humble themselves to the Lord, and they were slow to remember the Lord, meaning they would not remember him in their daily lives. They needed some big affliction, something to really hit them in order to remember the Lord. Well, this is what we saw with the people of Zenith. If the Lamanites came to war, then they would remember the Lord. But in the other time, they didn't remember the Lord. until finally they slip into a time like Noah, when they don't even remember the Lord at all, and everything gets turned over to men. And he goes on to continue to explain that the reason for the law of Moses was only to turn us to the Lord, to turn us to remember him. It doesn't say what we're to do after that. We learned that in the previous chapters in King Benjamin's address, the whole example of Nephi and Lehi, and we learned it all is there what to do after. Right now, this whole section of the Book of Mormon is concerning what the preparatory state of the law of Moses state, and how wicked people degenerate down from the higher laws back down through the law of Moses and finally down to where they're not following or listening to God at all, or in complete subjection to men and following men. And so in verse 32-33, he then says that the law of Moses consisted of a law of performances and ordinances. And then pretty soon men began to look at them and say, well, it's these performances and ordinances that we're saved by, which mean they make them their God. And they look at the, all they view is just the performances and ordinances, which is exactly the situation today. We go and we do our ordinances, we have a list of performances, we do it, and we claim that we're saved by that, because if you do all those things, then you're found worthy. And that just isn't the gospel. All they are to do, all the performances and ordinances are to do, is to turn you to God. In fact, every ordinance, if we look into it, is a covenant with God to follow God and have a relationship with him. Well, in verses 33-35, he says that you first you must have a Savior, that these, again, the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses turned you to the Savior, got you to think of the Lord, then you need a Savior, and then after that you have to do what the Savior says, or we're then into the area where we're following the Lord, which it was taught to us in King Benjamin's address. And it's difficult to talk and explain the Book of Mormon here if we don't get that clear frame of mind that we're talking with people who have perverted the law, and they have retrogressed and retrogressed till they're down to an extremely wicked state and an extremely perverted state of what the gospel is. Well, again, we have to say that what happens when we start believing as in this idea that it's just a list of performances, or it's a law of performances and ordinances to worthy you, when you believe that, then you think that the purpose, then if you do believe in the Savior, as they do today, then you believe that what you have is you have the Savior's redemption or atonement, and that plus worthy equals perfect. And it's not that way. The Lord has said over and over again, he cannot perfect you. Any weakness or any problem you have must be taken care of by you. There is no way that he can cause that to be overcome. But no matter what, we begin to want to always retrogress back to this idea that all we have to be is worthy, or all we have to do is just obey certain performances and ordinances. And at this point, therefore, we really need to repeat what the truth is. And the truth is, the law of Moses, which is a law of performances and ordinances with men in charge, prepares us for Christ. And when we then have Christ, then we follow him to perfection, or we turn ourselves over to him, and through his grace, he will therefore mold us and tell us what we're to do in order to have perfection. And again, it's difficult to study these areas here, and it's difficult to study the position today when you have kind of a mix, because again, just as today, they then said, have the law and ordinances, and then you can bypass Christ, you can bypass following Christ, you can bypass being perfected, but you still get the celestial kingdom. Well, this is the same thing they did. They were saying, look, we by keeping these ordinances and building all these places, we're already in Zion. We're already a Zion people, and that's what wickedness continues to want to do, is puff us up, build up our pride, to make us think that we do not have to follow the Lord.